Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone in the sanctuary this morning and to everyone who's watching online today or later in the week. I would also like to extend a warm welcome back to the Reverend Helen Cook, who will be conducting the service this morning. As most of you know, Helen is a member of our congregation. Helen, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today. Could I also welcome David Loosley to the organ? David, it's great to have you with us. Some intimations for your attention. Gary and Jake are attending the General Assembly of the Church of the Scotland till Monday. There will be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service. You're warmly invited to join us. There are Christian Aid envelopes on the pews around the church. Please take one and return it on either of the next two Sundays. Alternatively, you can donate online. Articles for the summer edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by the close of today. Submissions may be emailed to the parishioner at stannesold.org.uk or left in the McMichael Chapel. There will be a meeting of the Kirk Sessions of the Holyrood Viewfield Park Church and St Ninian's Old in the parish halls on Tuesday at 7 p.m. A good turnout of elders would be very much appreciated. There will be a time for discussion in the McMichael Chapel on Tuesday 26th of May at 7 p.m. All will be welcome. The Bible reading rota for May and June is displayed in the vestibule. If you'd like to read a lesson, please add your name to the rota beside a suitable Sunday. Volunteers are also needed to help prepare and serve tea and coffee after Sunday services. If you're able to help, please add your name to the rota in the vestibule. There are still a few dates to be filled in July, August and September. If you have not done it before, please give it some thought. If you have done it before, thank you and please consider doing it again. Your help with this is greatly appreciated. The final announcement, the Garden Tidy for May, will take place on Tuesday, the 26th of May at 1:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. And welcome everybody for our service here this morning, and a warm welcome, as Gary always gives, to those of you who might be watching online at some point today or sometime during the week, who knows. Once more, I'm standing down here and I'm unlikely to make it up to the pulpit. Apologies to those of you in the gallery. But if I was to go to the pulpit, having lost a few more inches in height, it would be a disembodied voice, which maybe might have worked quite well. Our theme for this morning is Never Alone. As God's people, we are never alone. Am I doing something to make this make the noise? No. Good. You never know, do you, with technical things. Our call to worship now is a prayer from Christian Aid, because today is the last day, I think, of this year's Christian Aid Week. And I know many of us here support Christian Aid each year, and the congregation in general is very supportive as Christian Aid. So our call to worship this morning is a prayer, which comes in a prayer pack from Christian Aid, specifically for this year and its special week. So let us pray. Faithful God, we come before you with our gifts and strengths and with faults and weaknesses, knowing your unfailing love for us. Open our hearts and our minds that we may hear your word and act on it. Foster us in boldness and perseverance. Transform us into your likeness and inspire us to build your kingdom of justice and love here on earth through Christ our Lord. Amen. Is this still working? Yeah. Good. Our hymn now is a lovely hymn, hymn 436, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. Thank you. Let us pray. Great God, we gather here together, knowing that whatever is happening in our lives and in the life of your church, we may turn to you for joy, for help, for peace, for forgiveness, and for strength. So in this time of prayer, we step aside from our daily activities, our routines, our wandering thoughts, and we place all in your hands as we trust in you and as we look for your guidance and for your hope. Faithful God, although we are people who meet here weekly to celebrate your resurrection and the gift of new life, we confess that there are times when doubt troubles us, especially as we look at the world around us. We know fears of our own loved ones and friends and fears for people unknown to us across the whole world and people who are experiencing hunger and disease and war. O God, free us from being defeated by our fears and doubts and strengthen us to reach out in prayer and in action to share our faith and to share your love for the world. Guide us in our daily lives that we may draw closer to you as we worship here as your people. And hear us as we pray together the prayer that you've given us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Does anyone here know how many people there are approximately in Scotland? Any ideas? Yes?
5.5 million.
Yes, exactly. 5.5 million. Good. You might answer the other questions then. How many in Great Britain? How many people are? Yep.
71 million.
Right, 71 million. This is good, isn't it? So none of you need to answer, eh? How many approximately in the whole world are there people? 8.3 billion. So pretty near, eh? That's really good. So many people, isn't there, right across the world? I read these words that I'm going to read to you this week. Many people walk across the earth. Even though we cannot see them all, they leave their footprints on the ground. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? I really like the idea of thinking about people's footprints. I'm not sure how you would think about 8.3 billion footprints across, but it shows that we mark our place on the earth somehow, don't we? There is a place for us all. Some people mark their spaces well, being perhaps loving and helpful and positive. Others can be careless, maybe neglecting other people's needs, maybe believing that certain kinds of people are rather worthless. And I think we would try always, wouldn't we, as in terms of our footprints on the earth, to show that we live as God calls us to live. And with God's grace and forgiveness, we can have good footprints. I don't know if any of the youngsters could come down and give me a hand with something just now, or some of the older youngsters might be able to. Here's someone good. This past week at the youth group where I volunteer, we talked about footprints, and they cut these out for us here this morning. Would you like to spread them around? These footprints, just randomly. Thank you. I wonder how you would look at your own footprints over the years, what the church's footprint is as well, all the different places that the message of Jesus has taken in our area and across the world. Well done. Any of them your size? Some of them are quite small. Thank you very much. Any of them your size? No, I don't think. Some of them were done with bare feet and some with shoes. So I think when you've got trainers and Crocs on, they're probably not big enough. Well, thank you for your help. That's great. These footprints here spread out across the floor there are representative, really, of all the people for whom God cares. People of different colour, different shape, different size. They represent those whom God loves and are our sisters and brothers in Him. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that He sent Jesus so that people may believe in Him and not perish but have everlasting life. And they remind us, don't they, that Jesus' love is extended into places that we can never think of. But He's there for all people in the world. So let's sing hymn 522, "The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising."
The first reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. This can be found at page 210 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11 at page 210. "Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, and in due time He will lift you up. He cares for you, so cast all your anxiety on him. Be on the alert, wake up. Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Stand up to him, firm in your faith, and remember that your fellow Christians in this world are going through the same kinds of suffering. After your brief suffering, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you on a firm foundation. All power belongs to him forever and ever. Amen. The second reading comes from John chapter 17, verses 6 to 11, and then verses 20 to 23. This can be found at page 95 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. That's John chapter 17, verses 6 to 11 and 20 to 23 on page 95. I have made your name known to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your command. Now they know that all you gave me has come from you, for I have taught them what I learned from you, and they have received it. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, because they belong to you. All that is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. And through them is my glory revealed. I am no longer in the world. They are still in the world. But I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name and the name you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. It is not for these alone that I pray, but for those also who through their words put their faith in me. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. So also may they be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me, and that you loved them as you loved me. Amen.
Our hymn is number 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Thank you.
May the words that I say and the thoughts and feelings of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In today's reading from the lectionary from John's Gospel, Jesus is praying. Jesus is praying, first of all, for all his disciples, his followers. And then he is praying for those people who became his followers after hearing the good news from the disciples and from others. We know from the Gospels that Jesus often went apart from the crowds or went to a quiet place, it tells us, in order to pray. But the Gospels very seldom tell us what he actually prayed for on most of these occasions. But there are two or three exceptions where we're told what he's saying in his prayer to God. One time is in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30, where he says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." And when that prayer ends, we're told that Jesus said these wonderful, well-known words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Another time when the Gospel tells us more specifically what Jesus said in prayer, the prayer was a few wonderful words of joyful praise spoken outside the tomb where Lazarus was buried. Lazarus, most of us know, I think, that he was a friend of Jesus, and word came to Jesus that he was ill. And then word came when Jesus arrived to visit him, Lazarus had died and he was in the tomb. And before summoning the living Lazarus from the tomb, Jesus prayed these words to God, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." And then, strengthened by his prayer with God, Jesus called on Lazarus to come out of the tomb alive. Today's chapter in the lectionary is John chapter 17. And it's rather extraordinary when we think about it in the context of Jesus mainly praying alone. I say it's extraordinary because in chapter 17 it tells us that Jesus knows what lies ahead for him and tells us more about what he's praying for. On the very evening before his trial, his arrest, his three trials, Jesus was tried by the Jewish leaders in the Sanhedrin, by the puppet King Herod, and by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. And surely as he prayed the night before, he would have realized that he would be mocked and humiliated and whipped and sentenced to death on the cross. But here in John 17, we read that this night before his certain death, when Jesus is praying to God, he's praying not for himself as he faces torture and death, but he's praying for his followers, both the followers he walked on earth with, his disciples, and all those who have learned about him from these disciples. And he goes on to pray not just for his disciples and for the people that hear from the disciples about him. But he goes on to pray for all those believers who generation after generation would learn about him and believe in him and pass on the good news of his gospel. So if you look at John chapter 17, verse 20, when Jesus prays for those who will learn from his disciples and go on to learn, he said that he wasn't simply praying then for his disciples. He was praying for those who will hear about him and believe in him and in the good news of his gospel. I think it's rather amazing and very wonderful to think that on his final day before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus was praying for all his followers, those who were alive at that time, and then also for all those who've been following him because of what they have learned from others down through the centuries, which would include ourselves. His disciples, after the crucifixion and the wonder of the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples took the good news of Jesus across the known world. And so on and on down through the ages, people have continued to hear the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And with his followers everywhere and in every age, we have chosen to follow him. In verse 20 of John chapter 17, it's there that Jesus tells us that he's praying not only for his disciples, he's praying for those people who will come to believe in him because of what other people have told them. So really he's talking too, down through the centuries, about us. We believe because of what others have told us or shown us. And in his words to God, Jesus says that he's praying that we may all be one, just, he says, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they too may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The title today of our reflection is Never Alone. As Christians, we believe that God is with us at all times. And every week we have the comfort and shared faith and challenge of worshipping him together. One modern writer has pointed out that the church is never more than one generation from extinction. All it would take is for the message not to be handed on. But as we can tell, that has never happened. And in many places where people have tried and are trying to extinguish the good news brought by Jesus, they've never succeeded to do that. And in the history and the time present in our country, and in the history and the present time in many parts of the world, the good news of Jesus is believed and is lived. God's love for us all continues in the world. And there are even some places in the world where the numbers of Christians are growing. I could be wrong, but I like to think, by and large, there are fewer churches nowadays who refuse to acknowledge that although we may have differences in our ways of worship and our memberships and leaderships, we all share the faith of Christianity which has come down through the generations since Christ. And that gives us many more opportunities for worshipping together and to take strength from each other and each other's faith. The second reading in the list for today is from 1 Peter, and it offers us advice on how to live together as a church and as one church among many others. A phrase from that reading stood out for me, and it's this. Peter tells the churches that he's writing to clothe themselves with humility towards one another. For we are all the same in God's eyes, all loved the same, with different tasks and roles to undertake for God and for each other and for the world in which we are living. And we know that we are never alone, for God is always with us. Peter also told the folk to whom he was writing to throw all their troubles upon God because he cares about us. There are many other words of wisdom in Peter's letters to the early Christian churches, well worth reading. We can see this, can't we, in our own congregation, for each of us in the church in various ways. A friendly few words, concern when someone's ill or upset, fellowship over cups of tea, laughing together, praying together, enjoying all ages. And when we pause to think about the many tasks that people have undertaken in this congregation and in all congregations, then we realize that we are never alone. I'd like to draw this together and to close by sharing two prayers. There are two prayers which Lorraine, our prayer group convener, sent me, which have been posted on the church's website. And they're lovely prayers that bring us together and allow us to think together of God. So let us pray. God, giver of life, we thank you for all your gifts to us, for warmth and shelter, for friends and family, for work and vocation. As you have abundantly blessed us, may we hold out your blessing for others. God of the stillness, we settle and we wait for you. God of the storm, we hold fast and wait for you. Meet us, greet us, shake us, remake us. There is no place that is not yours. There is no time that is not yours. We are never alone, for you, God, are with us. Amen. Our hymn is number 550. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Let us bring to God now our prayers for the world and for all the people in it. Let us pray. Living God, we praise you for all that is good and precious in our humanity. The value of life, the potential, the uniqueness of each person. And we thank you that you have given us the ability to care for each other. We ask you to forgive us when we fail to live as you call us to live. We pray now for those known to us who are ill or tired or anxious. We pray for those who are mourning the death of someone they love. May they and their loved ones be comforted and strengthened. We pray for people who have no sense of self-worth, who feel they're unimportant, unvalued, unloved. And we pray for the victims of broken relationships and broken homes, the homeless and the refugees, the victims of war and destruction across our world. Living God, where life is dark, may your presence bring light. Where evil is strong, may goodness be stronger. Where suffering destroys, may healing restore. Where sorrow bears down on us, may friendship and peace bring comfort. Where hatred divides, may love overcome it. Where war rages, may peace grow and win. And where death overwhelms us, may faith grow in us. May the life of Christ in us transform this and every moment, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is the hymn 259, Beauty for Brokenness. Let us go in love to serve the Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon and go with each one of us, and be with all those dear to us, now and forevermore.